bit, and we actually going to church, and he was just like, couldn't believe it, blue, luckily no numbers, and then he said, you guys enjoy your day. But it's so funny how, like, he went from being really stern and probably hating his life, being out there at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, to just lighting up and just having this joy. And I think that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? It's like, I mean, I look like a bit of a fool and whatever, but I'm bringing joy to people's lives. And it gives us an opportunity of saying, oh, why do you look like that? Well, it's because of Jesus and because, you know, joy to the world, a Savior is born in Bethlehem. So, thought I'd share a funny story about that before we get into this. And we have a little bit of time, so maybe let's just take a few minutes, like 3 minutes now. Just turn to your people behind you, next to you, and say hi, introduce yourself, who you are, and just say hi to everyone quickly, then we'll jump into the video. So cool, it's like family. I just love that about CFUELA, like one big family. And I think that's what the early church was meant to be like. You know, you read about these people who were so close and just like lived in community and sort of supported each other. It talks in Acts about how the church used to help the people who were widows and orphans and the sick and the needy. And it's just like, how do you know what people are struggling with and how you can help them if you're not in their world and in their lives? So that's why I like to take a minute every now and then for us just say, hey, how are you going? Where are you at? I'm so-and-so. And I just think there's something to be said for that community. And that's why we're having the Christmas in July lunches afterwards. You know, like they said, there's still time to sign up. If you don't have a place to go, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a bonfire and marshmallows for the kids. And little Shadow, our dog, has like an elf costume that she's going to be wearing. So it's a lot of fun. Christmas is a time that we can just, have some joy, you know, have some fun, and then point to Jesus at the same time. So with that all said, this is a really cool message, and it's being played at all the CP churches around the world, either last Sunday or this Sunday. So, with that said, enjoy the first part of the message from Pastor Phil Pringle this morning. Thanks, church.
Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle.
Hi guys, it's wonderful, wonderful to be sharing this message with you today.
One of the church this weekend.
Yes.
What a delight to have you in the house of God. Yes. Many guests, we're so glad you made it. We're so glad you're here and looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Chris?
Yes, well look, I am excited that I'm here to introduce my husband. This is an amazing message of prophecy and inspiration to release something absolutely new in the midst of you and all our churches. So I know you're going to love this message today. So God bless you.
As we come to the Presence Conference in San Diego.
Yes, C3 Americas.
In August. Do whatever you can to be there. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yes, for a real big hug. Not a virtual one like this one, but a real one. So God bless you.
Amen.
See you there.
Well, I wanted to share about this amazing gift that God has given to us called prophecy. And it may seem like a small subject, but actually it embraces a vast array of the moving of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit first fell on those 120 disciples, Peter stood up and he said, when the Spirit of God falls, young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams, and handmaidens and servants will prophesy. Actually, the dreaming of dreams and the seeing of visions and prophesying are pretty much all the same thing. And I have no doubt that we are moving into an era, a brand new phase, an incredibly higher level and a higher season of anointing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit than we've ever seen in the history of the world. In C3 and right across the earth and right across all flesh and all the church right around the world, we're going to see a move of God that is completely unstoppable. The moving of the Spirit always brings about proclamations or prophecies. Immediately when they were filled with the Spirit, they all began to speak in other languages that they never learned before. And then the apostles stood up and started preaching, especially Peter. And he prophesied about the wonders of God and the glory of God. And he magnified God in his preaching. He was worshiping God with his preaching. And speaking in a way that is supernatural throughout all of Scripture is called prophesying. In fact, right from the Old Testament, Moses, when he looked back through time, it was an element of prophesying. He was seeing in the Spirit how the world was created. Right through to the book of John and the book of Revelation written by the Apostle John, he was seeing into the future. And that was also the gift of prophecy. In fact, Jesus, when he was here, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Now, when the word prophecy originally comes into Scripture, it means to bubble up, to be like a fountain within. And you'll find that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, things will come out of your mouth. Worship, praise, glorifying God, speaking in new languages, supernatural utterances begin to happen. But that word morphed into a new word as well, which meant seer. And that word meant that you could actually begin to see what God was doing and then speak it into being. Inside us, when we're born again, we get a duplicate set of faculties. We get spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, spiritual feelings, spiritual taste, spiritual smell. We can sense God. When we dominate our world with stimulus to the flesh man, to our body, we shut down that spirit man. But when we quieten down our flesh and not let it have so much stimulation, we actually awaken those sensibilities and those faculties that belong to the inner man. One of the reasons we close our eyes when we pray is to shut out all that imaging that's coming from the natural world, and the inner eye, our inner eyes are open, and we can start to see God and reach out into the Spirit. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 3 verse 20, he prays for the Ephesian church. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart are open. I pray that you get it. That's what really he was asking. The prayer was that the inner eye, the inner vision that God wanted to show them would become apparent. God wants to mingle his thoughts with our imagination. And we should never underestimate the power of imagination in terms of waiting on God. Because once we have started to perceive something and conceive it in our mind, we can then speak it. And many times Jesus told us, rather than just say it and pray it, he wants us to prophesy it into being. He'd say, speak to the mountain and it will move. Most often Jesus would speak to sickness and he'd say, be healed to a person. He would tell people to do things and they would act on that word and they would find themselves in a new level of victory and healing. And that is what I believe God has taken us into as we move into the future. There is a new anointing. There is a fresh oil coming upon C3. Part of that is not just praying, but it is proclaiming. It is prophesying. And I am prophesying that we will see a million people worshiping in our congregations all around the world in the next few years. I am prophesying that we will see a revival and a move of God and an outpouring of the Spirit like we have never seen before. I am prophesying that we are going to see the sick healed, the dead raised. We're going to see blind eyes open. We're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands of teenagers coming to Christ. A massive revival is going to be poured out on the holy, on the people of God all over the world. And we're going to find that every church will experience an influx of teenagers. The touch of God will not be stopped in this era. The devil can't stop it. People can't stop it. Governments won't stop it. The Holy Spirit is coming on earth like a wave that is unstoppable. And I prophesy that your churches, your people, your teenagers, your youth, your teens are all going to experience the touch and the power of the Holy Ghost at another level, so that you start to see the future and that you start to prophesy those things that God is about to do. We are living in an age when God wants to move in our hearts, not just move sovereignly from above. Sometimes we are asking God to do things that He wants us to do, and He has told us to do. He said, you go heal the sick, and we go pray, God, heal the sick person. We are the ones with the word of the Lord in our mouth, and we can say to this world, be healed in Jesus' name. We can say to the dead, come alive in Jesus' name. We can say to the sick, be healed. We can say to people who are suffering and they're in poverty and they're in difficulty, to marriages that are in trouble, to people who are suicidal, we can bring the word of God and bring life. The most important thing for me about prophecy is that I believe it's a lifesaver. We live in a world where young people, middle-aged people, older people are struggling to grasp hope. They're struggling to see a future. They're struggling to feel like something good is going to happen to them. And I believe we're living in an hour now where every time people come into church, something good is going to happen to them because we prophesied it, because we said it. We need to clothe our congregations with faith. We need to clothe our lives with faith in the morning to speak over our lives that I am blessed. I am holy. I am on fire. I have energy. I am awake. I love God. I love church. I love the people of God. I'm destined for greatness. When you start to see these things in your life and you speak them, you will find you transform into the very words that are coming out of your mouth. Never underestimate the power of your tongue. You can create life or bring death with that. You can actually penetrate into heaven with the word of God in your lips, with the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. We bring defeat to the devil and we access heaven. God has given us His word to use. It isn't just to study. It isn't just to memorize. It isn't just to meditate on. It isn't just to teach. It is to use as a weapon. It is to use as a powerful weapon that defeats the devil, cuts him in pieces, and brings down strongholds. It's also an incredible weapon in terms of coming against our own flesh, coming against all the persecution and criticisms. As you speak that word, you are speaking the very same word that created the heavens and the earth. It has got power in it. The living word of God has so much power that it created a universe, for goodness sake. When we put His word in our mouth, like God said to Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. Once that begins to happen and we prophesy, we'll see valleys of dry bones come alive. We will see dead men coming out of their tombs. We will see whole communities transformed, converted by the power of Christ, and our churches set on fire with revival. In the prayer meeting, and I'm telling you, there is a revival in our prayer meetings. God is bringing great amounts of prayer into our lives and into our churches. We shouldn't be just praying. We should be prophesying that God is about to move in our own lives, in our families, in our finances, in our circumstances, in our communities, with salvation, with blessing, with an abundance in Jesus' name. I'm praying for you right now that the power of the Holy Ghost will fall upon you, your congregation, your families, and you'll experience abundance in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, let the blessing and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest on all of our congregations all around the world in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Revival, that's, oh, wow. Hey, how good would that be to just see our churches packed? You know, just not enough room. Just because people seeing their lives transformed, getting addictions, just falling off their lives. You know, my heart for the community of Kwinana, you know, is that we'd be like this lighthouse shining the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming the word of Jesus to this community, and that we'll see people's lives transformed. I reckon we got to, reignite some of these ministries that we used to have that we no longer have. Like I'm thinking of the prayer meeting. You know, we used to have that on a Monday night, and that doesn't work for some people. So maybe we should kick it off on a Tuesday night, you know, when the muses are here, they're practicing their songs. We could be next door, you know, just proclaiming the word of the Lord, praying to see breakthrough in this community. It's just, sky's the limit, you know. It's just so, so encouraging. So I'm going to try and, you know, hard act to follow, I think, Pastor Phil Pringle. I'm going to try and give you guys something on that level. But what I'm glad about and why I know you guys will be blessed this morning with the word is that it's not my words, but it's the Lord's words. Through the Holy Spirit, I am just a vessel bringing a word that a message that I believe God's got for you this morning. And with that, I want to introduce the title of my message. And this is what I want to declare for you guys this morning is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's the title of my message this morning. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know, we've been moving through the book of Luke this year. As you can see on the banners on the left and right, Luke 4:18 is our theme for the year. And since it's Christmas in July today, I thought, Lord, what message can I give that not only encompasses the Holy Spirit and the power of that, and about this like prophecy and proclamation that Pastor Phil is talking about, but what message also could be classed as a Christmas message? So I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know, the announcement of Jesus' birth, that's something that we do at Christmas time, you know, like, Merry Christmas, the Savior is born in Bethlehem. We announce that that's what Jesus did at Christmas time. But, you know, and we normally hear a lot about, you know, joy to the world, the Savior is born, and the shepherds wash their socks by night, all seated around the tub. That's a different version. But we sing songs about this amazing story of Christ Jesus being born to a virgin. An absolute miracle. Without the work of God and the Holy Spirit, would have been impossible. And that's what Luke 4:18 also speaks of. You know, this freedom that can only be found in God. You know, oppression, lives transformed, healing to the brokenhearted. And we sing songs about that kind of stuff at Christmas time, because it's the best news the world has ever heard. The news of the birth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But interestingly, as a side note, that out of the four Gospels, and Gospels is just a word that means good news, out of the four accounts of the good news of Jesus, out of all four of them, Luke is the only one that has the account of Mary and the angel. When the angel came to Mary and brought her the good news that she's going to be the one that brings the Savior of the world, into this place. So I just think, I don't do this often, but I just think sometimes it's good to show God a bit of respect, especially for his word. So church, if you wouldn't mind joining me just to stand for a moment as we read the word of God together from Luke 1, 26 to 38. And we'll be reading from the Message Bible. But I was thinking, maybe you guys can help me with this a little bit. And if you wouldn't mind being the angel for me, and I'll be the rest. So whenever you see the angels about to speak, I'll shut up and you guys can follow along. So let's read together, and you guys can be the angel. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel, that's the angel, greeted her. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Never slept with a man." The angel answered, highest of a holy people. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say. Then the angel left her. Thank you, guys. You can take your seats. Thanks for helping me with that. So there's quite a lot of prophecy going on there. The angel brings all these things that Mary didn't even know about. Even the fact that her sister-in-law, Elizabeth, was pregnant. So this is such great news that this must have been for Mary. You're going to supernaturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give birth to Jesus, the Son of God, who will save the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for your plan to save all of us through the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Thank you that even when we feel unworthy, unattractive, and unloved, as Mary may have, you still use us mightily to bring about your purpose in this earth. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us have open hearts and be ready to hear your words to us this morning, so that when your Holy Spirit moves and comes upon us, we are ready to do your will and serve you. Help us as we unpack your amazing scriptures this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So, the passage that we just read and the prophecy that the angel gave, you can actually break it down into four areas. And these four areas or four main guiding points, I like to refer to them as kind of, they speak of this general structure of prophecy. And, you know, with Pastor Phil saying that we're going to be seeing a lot more prophecy, a lot more proclamation, a lot more of this kind of thing in our church, I thought it might be wise this morning to tell you guys how prophecy usually looks like from a biblical point of view. So that not only can we recognize it when someone's speaking over your life or prophesying words, or they say, hey, I believe God is saying this to you. Not only can we check it against this structure and see, is this really from you, Lord? But also, I believe in, you know, making disciples and being called to step out and look more like Jesus. We're going to be called to, you know, as we see more people come into the church, maybe God will prompt our hearts and prompt us with gifts of prophecy or with words. And when we are then being tasked with telling people, hey, I believe God's got a word for you. I think God's saying this to you. At least when we step out in that difficult place of faith where that uncertainty and that fear comes, at least we can be like, Lord, have I really heard from you? As I speak these words of prophecy or proclaim over this person's life, does it follow this structure? Does it follow the biblical structure for prophecy? And does it have these four main elements? So we're going to go through these four elements this morning, so that if someone comes to you and says, hey, Natsai, I believe God's got a word for you. Hey, Elta, God's got a word for you. Anthony, God's got a word for you, mate. Then we can say, well, okay, I'll be open to this word, but does it follow a biblical narrative? And that's basically what I'm going to go through this morning. And I'm going to take us back to that passage we just read. But also, there's many other places in the Bible where, like Pastor Phil said, either they're prophesying forward into the future, or they're even prophesying of things that happened in the past. You know, God can show us things in our lives that are maybe holding us back, that we've long forgotten. Through prophecy, it can be brought up to light again through the Holy Spirit, and we can deal with those things so that we can be set free and move on. Or maybe God will show you something in your future of what's going to come on down the line so that you can structure your life and change the way you're going. Almost like, you know, the story of Joseph when he was young and he had this crazy dream about his mother, father, and all his siblings bowing down to him. That not only got him into trouble, which got him to go to the land eventually, that God used that to get him to go to the land he was meant to go to, but it guided everything in his life and where he was going and his identity. So with that, I'm going to give you my main 4 points right now. And June, if you wouldn't mind just showing each slide as I mention them, and then I'll go through them in detail. So the first one is prophecy shapes identity. So when you are being prophesied over, or you are stepping out in faith and telling someone something that you believe God has for them, or that maybe they don't know about themselves, the first thing is that prophecy shapes identity, whether as a people group or an individual. The second point is, and I'll go into these points in more detail, the second point is prophecy points to Jesus. That's the focus of it all. That's why we do what we do. We can't just prophesy good things about people. Oh, yeah, you're going to be a millionaire, entrepreneur, throwing the $100 bills out the window. I mean, how does that point to Jesus? How does that actually glorify God's plan in your life? And then the next point is that prophecy usually contains an only God or impossible declaration. If it was something not outlandish, something attainable, there's no room really for God and the Holy Spirit to be there and to be glorified through the statement. Prophecy usually has an element of impossible. In this case, in the passage we're looking at, the fact that she was a virgin, had never slept with a man, and yet she was going to be pregnant, that's the impossible. And then the fourth thing that I want to look at is our response to prophecy, and that's that we should be accepting and serving. That's how Mary responded to prophecy, and that's generally how we should all respond when we receive a word from God. So, coming back to it all, as we look at the word of the Lord to the angel, the word of the Lord that the angel brought to Mary, I want to draw out these characteristic patterns and then see that, you know, if you believe that God is speaking to you, can you like use this as like a checklist and weigh it against it and see if it fits that mold and see if it's a worthy word? You know, that we all get that question sometimes about like, God, are you speaking to me? Did I hear you right? Or God, I wish I could hear from you. It just feels like crickets when I like shoot up a prayer to you or whatever, you know? It's like, Lord, what are you saying to me? So this I hope this can help you, church, to know and help you recognize when God is actually speaking to you. Well, and the odds will certainly be greater if it follows this biblical pattern. So the Holy Spirit may sometimes come upon you and prompt you to be bold and speak words of prophecy into someone else's life. And that's where you can also, like I said, check against these four things. So I don't have time this morning to go into it, but if you want to verify that this is generally the structure that biblical prophecy or proclamation takes, you can check out the story of the burning bush encounter in Exodus 3, if you want to go and read through that. It has, although it wasn't necessarily pointing to Jesus, it was pointing to God, but there, you know, and God is the Father of Jesus, so that's probably the only one that's a bit of a stretch, but you'll see that it does have all these things. The prophecy there talks about Moses' identity, of not only him, but also his people of Israel. It points to God or Jesus, and it has a really impossible declaration in there. And then Moses' response is that, yes, Lord, I accept your word, and I will serve you, and I'll go and do what you ask me to. You can also check it out. Check out the anointing of David in 1 Samuel 16. That also has a very similar structure to this. You can, as I said before, read about Joseph's dreams in Genesis 37. And those are just naming a few. There's many other places in Scripture where you'll see this similar structure to biblical prophecy, dreams, visions, or when God speaks to people or a people group. Anyway, let's come back to the text of the day. And the first thing I want to look at, where I said prophecy shapes identity, the first part of that can be seen in verses 26 to 28. So, 26 to 28. So there the angel appears and he says, in the message anyway, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. I mean, she was probably feeling like, I'm just average. I'm just, like, who am I? I'm not special. I don't even look that attractive when I look in the mirror. But yet the angel appears and says, man, you're blessed. You're beautiful inside and out. God be with you. And it's amazing that when you ask, be called up to prophesy over someone, you just say, hey, maybe you don't see this about you. I see that you're just this, and you'd speak something that speaks to the person's identity. You know, like if I was going to prophesy over Alta, I'd probably say, man, you're just so gifted musically. I mean, is there an instrument that you can't play? I just feel God is so, you know, happy with you because you serve him with your gifts and your talents. And, you know, that's the first element of a prophecy, is that it would point to and it shapes and molds people's identity of who they are. And that's the encouraging part of it. You might, maybe by proclaiming or prophesying that over that person, you can draw out something that they didn't even see, and they're so encouraged. And the angel draws out these aspects of Mary's character that are godly and uses it to encourage her. And sometimes it takes other people to speak things about your character for you to realize just how awesome God has created you to be. Or for you to maybe recognize a skill or a gifting that you didn't think you had, and just nudge you in that right direction, that little bit of encouragement. That's maybe what God wants you to hear. You know, I want to say this, God isn't into accidents. He made you the way you are for a very specific role. He wants you to fill, you know, a certain life and touch certain people and reach people that only you can for the kingdom of Jesus. And sometimes, you know, through words and prayers and prophecy of others, you can speak into people's lives. And these words can draw out, because sometimes some of us, we come from a really, you know, dysfunctional family background, and we've had words spoken about us. Oh, you'll never be good enough. You'll never go to university. Oh, you're good for nothing. You're just always telling lies and no one can trust you. And we get all these negative things thrown at us sometimes growing up, and it's so much so that we start to believe it. And we can only start to break these things over our lives and see our real identity in Jesus Christ if we step out and encourage each other with the godly aspects that we see in their lives. You know, when the world and hurtful people break each other down, we should as a church be building one another up. And as much as these words that we speak over others should shape their identity, the main thing that prophecy and prayer should do is my second point. And that's prophecy points to Jesus. If I could get the musician up, please, that would be awesome. So that's what celebrating Christmas does. It points to Jesus and the wonder of what happened when he was born into this world all those years ago. You know, Christmas points to Jesus, and in the same way, prophecy should point to Jesus. And there's been so many vendettas against Christmas to, you know, like commercialize it and make it point to something else. But ultimately, Christmas and these trees and these decorations and gift giving, you know, a lot of this is like smokescreen that's been put there to like distract us of what is the real meaning of Christmas. And it should be doing exactly what prophecy does, and that's pointing people to Jesus. We should, as Christians, you know, be not allow people to put that X in the front of the mass. You know, keep it Christmas, because that's the most important part. It's not we're not going to put an X over Jesus's name. It's all about Christ's birth, Christmas. And the same way that Christmas points to Jesus, so should biblical prophecy. Now, every move of the Holy Spirit should ultimately end up in more people knowing about Jesus. Really. You know, we're mixing it up today a little bit, church. It's just Christmas in July, and since prophecy points to Jesus and Christmas points to Jesus, I want to point to Jesus right now in the middle of our service and give an opportunity for people here to get right with God if you aren't. So I just want to tell you a little bit about God's love, because that's actually why Christmas happened, was because of God's love. You know, God's love motivated him to do this. He saw that we were sinners, we were people who messed up, we had no way out, and we could never live up to his perfect standard. So God sent his son Jesus down to this earth, as the angel said, to be born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus never sinned or did anything wrong in his 33 years here on earth. He was innocent, died on a cross for us. He took the punishment of death so that we could be forgiven of our mistakes. It's great to be reminded of just what Jesus did for each and every one of us. It's like when you go to court and someone else pays your fine for you. The court no longer finds any guilt against you because you've been paid for in full for what you've done. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. He paid our fine and he rose again from the grave after 3 days. This shows God's victory over sin and death. Now, because of Jesus, we can all have eternal life and be forgiven of our sins. If you're here today and you want to grab hold of this new life in Jesus, you want a fresh start, you want to leave your past behind and you want to grab hold of everything that God has for you, here's what you need to do. You need to turn away from the way that you've been living and put your full trust in Jesus. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's all close our eyes now, church. If you're here right now and you're feeling like a desperation, like an anxiety welling up inside of you, like you need to do something right now, like you need to grab hold of this moment and not let it pass you by, this moment is for you. Whether you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you once walked with God, but you've walked away and you now feel like a distance and you feel far from him, this is your chance to get right with God right now and accept Jesus Christ. Let's pray this prayer together, church. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died and rose to forgive my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Forgive me for all my sin and mistakes. Today I turn from my old ways and follow your perfect example. Today is my day of new beginnings. In Jesus' name, amen. While keeping your eyes closed, church, just for a bit of privacy, if you prayed that prayer here today and you meant it and you want to lay hold of everything that Jesus has for your life right now, if you can please raise your hand. I want to give you a pack that's got a gospel message in it and it's got a what next? What do I do next now that I've accepted Jesus into my life? Just want to give it a moment. That's you. If you pray that prayer and you're like, I want to draw a line in the sand, I want to move on, this is your moment to lay hold of that. Just raise up your hand and I'll see it. You can pop it back down. Father God, I thank you for your people gathered here this morning. Lord, I thank you that we are all sheep safe in your hands, that we are members of your flock. Father God, I just pray that you will keep us all safe in this coming week, Lord, that you will give us opportunities, little moments, Holy Spirit moments, where we can tell others about the good news of Jesus and the gospel and just how amazing it is to know you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that because someone was bold enough to step out and tell us about the good news of Jesus, we now have eternal life with you. And Lord, we can be those people to others. We can be the reason why our friends and our family and our colleagues and our supervisors end up in heaven because we are bold enough to tell them the good news of Jesus. Lord, let us never forget the real reason for the season, the real reason for Christmas, and the real reason for all the distractions that we see this morning, Lord, that they're all supposed to point to you and the joy that came to this world because of what you did through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, Jason. Take a seat again. That's some beautiful playing. Let's give Jason a hand. Yeah? Just thought I'd mix it up a bit. We don't usually do the altar call of that section, but we always want to give an opportunity for people to get right with God. We don't know. You could leave this place and boom, get hit by a bus. Not that that's what we want for our lives, but hey, it could happen. So I would just like, from my conscious point of view, to know that if someone came here to see Free Weller in Medina and they, you know, had the opportunity to hear the message of the gospel, but they didn't have the opportunity to make a decision for Jesus, and then something tragic happened to them, you know, I don't know if I could live with myself. So every Sunday, church, we're going to give an opportunity for someone to get right with God. We don't know when our last day could be, you know. So move on to our second to last point for today. Prophecy contains an only God impossible declaration. You know, Mary could not understand how she could bear a child because she was a virgin. This was seemingly impossible for her, but yet God is more powerful than any of our circumstances. God is more powerful than your mindset and what you deem to be impossible. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, like when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, we can see miracles. We can see breakthrough. We can see freedom where there was none before. Because not because of anything we've done, but because of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Mary saw. When the Holy Spirit came upon her, she fell pregnant. Although nothing in the natural would have allowed her to be pregnant. And sometimes it's like that. It's like, you know, we like joyful and happy, and we don't even know why. And nothing in our natural circumstances could make us feel that way, but God and His Holy Spirit. And we can see things when the Holy Spirit comes that make us say, wow, that has to be God. That's only God. That's impossible without God. And, you know, we all need to ask God to increase our faith, I believe. You know, to just believe to see more impossible things happen in our life. Sometimes we just get like laid back and like, oh yeah, I've seen it all. Lord, I think I'm always going to struggle with this sore leg, or yeah, I've had this, this funny rash on my back that no one knows about for years. And Lord, I've prayed to you for so long, and like, no one, like, it's like we've got to get rid of that kind of mindset. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling through, it might not even be a physical ailment. Maybe it's a relationship that you're like, God, that person's always going to hate me. You know, my mom's always going to think this of me, or my sibling's always going to judge me in that way. We shouldn't resign ourselves to these always. You know, we should be prophesying good things that only God can accomplish. The angel told Mary that he was going to do the impossible through the Holy Spirit. And throughout the Bible, there are accounts of God doing impossible things when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, both in the Old and the New Testament. And even today, God wants us to see us. God wants us to see us achieve the impossible through Him. Not because, oh yeah, it's a superhero and you know, something amazing happened. No, it's because when only God impossible things happen to us, we can't take any credit. We can only point to God and glorify Him and say, it's not me, God, it's you. We can use encounters like that to touch people's lives and bring healing and hope to desperate situations. God can use every single one of us to bring change and the light of Jesus to this lonely, hurting world. Let's take a quick look at some only God encounters and when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. I'm going to rattle off a couple of verses. I hope you're ready there, June. Romans 8:11 in the Voice. If the Spirit of the one who resurrected Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, then you can be sure that He who raised Him will cast the light of life into your mortal bodies through the life-giving power of the Spirit residing in you. Acts 4:31 in the Living Bible. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly preached God's message. Let's expect more of this, church. When we gather in this building, let's expect God to do the impossible. You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, take a look at this one. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Many of us know that. And finally, as we start to bring this message to a close, I want to briefly return and consider Mary's response to receiving this impossible news from the angel Gabriel. Luke 1:38. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to do whatever He wants. May everything you said come true. And then the angel disappeared. Mary's response to the clear word from God was humble acceptance and declaring her heart of serving the Lord. And that's what a powerful prayer, like if I'm here on a Sunday, someone responds to an altar call, I'll try and cover all those things, you know, being mindful of, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? All right, I'm going to speak to their identity, maybe something they didn't know. okay, Lord, I'm going to pray that they'll see more of Jesus in their life, that there'll be more of Jesus to the people around them. And Lord, I'm going to believe for the impossible. Yes, she's struggling with that, those issues. And Lord, I'm going to want to see you break through for her in that impossible way. And then, as I bring this to a close, Lord, let her always be your servant. Lord, let her never depart from you. Let her just accept these words and believe it and take it to heart and live out all the passions and the purposes that you have for her life. Our response to the word of the Lord should be accepting and serving. Church, I hope that those points can help you if you step out and you feel like you're needing to give a word from God to someone, or maybe someone's bringing something to you. You know, this is a real practical word. You know, sometimes we can read things and maybe one or two pieces of it is practical, but I wanted this to be like really practical, something we can put into our lives and make a part of, like, just encourage one another, speak things that you don't see, that maybe they don't see in their life, point to Jesus, speak and believe for the impossible. Don't just resign yourself to, I'm always going to be like this, or I'm always going to struggle in this area. That's what I'm keeping in the back of my mind when I pray for people, and, you know, follow the Lord's prompting and guidance. But, like, I don't want a church where only the pastor moves in these things. I want a church where, you know, God didn't say, go into the world and create pastors and let them just, you know, teach everyone. We've all got our own part in the body, and we've all got our work to do. And, like, I'm sorry, but I can't reach every single one of you. How could I, with all the crazy lives that we all live? You know, I would be just spent out like a heaving wreck on the floor, you know. But that's where you guys come in. You know, I want a church where all of us can do what I do. I don't want to be this Superman or you know, some guy who hears from God and whatever. I want all of us to be like that. You know, all of us can improve in different areas and step out in different ways and know Jesus more and you know, be a blessing to others. So with that, I'll just summarize. So the first thing when you're praying for someone, or you feel like you're bringing a word for someone, is identity. And ask yourself, when you're in that place, have I encouraged the person that I'm speaking to? Have I encouraged the person? Have I spoken to parts of their amazing identity that they may not believe or that they may not even be aware of? Have I encouraged them in who they are as an awesome creation of the Most High God? That's that first point about prophecy pointing to identity. So as I hope to create more disciples here this morning, church, that's what we should be doing when we are praying for people and prophesying over them. Speak to their identity. Second point, prophecy points to Jesus. Jesus, while you're praying for someone, while you're prophesying over their life, have I kept the focus of the prayer and what I am saying solely on Jesus? Have I praised God for how wonderful he is? You know, Jesus told that parable about, well, no, he didn't tell a parable, but he healed 10 lepers, and only one leper came back after he was healed to thank Jesus. And I think sometimes that's how we are. You cry out to God, cry out to God, cry out to God, cry out to God, cry out to God. Eventually he comes through for us and it's like, okay, that's done. Cry out to God, cry out to God, cry out to God. It's like, we need to take some time just to praise him for everything that we have, for what he has done, for the things he has come through for us. And I think when we pray for other people, when we turn the focus of the prayer solely on Jesus and praise him, then God is quick to hear what we have to say because of the heart that we're coming at him with. You know, have I praised Jesus for how wonderful he is and what he's done? Have I spoken into this person's life about meaningless worldly matters? Or have I spoken about eternal weighty things? Have I spoken about their destiny and their purpose in the light of the kingdom of Jesus? Third point, the impossible. It's easy sometimes for us just to, like when we pray for someone or talking to someone about God, to just dumb it down to something that can be done. Just like, oh yeah, I prayed for that person, or I stepped out there, Lord, in faith. But all the things that I said could really easily come to pass. You know, and then it's like, oh yeah, it all got answered. But I think sometimes if we really believe that God is who he is, the powerful, almighty, amazing God that he is, we need to include the impossible in what we speak to each other. Ask yourself, have I spoken in faith of things that only God can do? Whether it's healing, finding favor with God and man, mending broken relationships, believing for financial breakthrough, cutting off fear and addiction. Some people think that they'll never get free of the way they are. Is there something in what I'm prophesying or what I'm praying that requires the creator of heaven and earth? What is the miracle? What is the sign? What is the wonder? What is the gap that I'm believing God for? And finally, the response. Encourage the person you're talking to believe, to have faith, to trust God, and continue to serve God faithfully until they see the outworking of that prayer or that prophecy in their lives. And that could be a while. Let me tell you, God's timeline is so different to ours. I know that from experience. I brought a message a couple of weeks ago about being persistent in prayer, even when we don't see our circumstances changing. And that's how we got to be. We got to just be like, Lord, that word, I believe it's from you. And although I've always struggled in that area, I'm going to say no more because I believe you are the God who does the impossible. So let's get excited, church. You know, let's anticipate a move of God, not only in this church, but I believe in our state, in our nation. How awesome would it be if people are just, like, the norm now is, like, people look at you if you go to church, and, like, that's weird. How cool would it be if it was back in the times of maybe 60, 70 years ago where, if you say, I'm not going to church, that's weird, you know? I mean, that would be so cool. Like, oh, you're not going to church. Oh, okay, you're one of those. All right. No, okay. You don't know what you're missing out on. You know, let's be anticipating of miracles, of breakthrough. Let's be bold and step out, encouraging one another, praying for one another, speaking life into their situations, that they're not always going to be dealing with that, that God can come through for them. You know, God is a God who makes virgins give birth. You know, God is a God who brings sight to the blind, he brings healing to the brokenhearted, he sets the captives free. Now, I want to pray the first part of the angel's declaration to Mary as a blessing over all of us for this coming week. Church, if you can just open your heart where you are right now and receive this and believe this as a word of the Lord for you and for your family, for your future. I just really, as I was reading this story about, you know, the angel coming to Mary, I just really felt something weighty on this part. And it comes from, what the angel said in verse 35, but Lord God, we're going to believe this word for us right now and for our communities and for our families and for just to see transformation in our lives. Lord, we believe these words that although they were from the angel to Mary, Lord, that these words are your heart for us this morning, Lord. This is not an accident that we read this message today, Lord God, that we read this passage. And we're going to believe and receive this for our church and for our community and our family right now. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Amen. Let's close in prayer, church. Father God, we receive your word today. Let us believe that you're going to move in our lives as you did for Mary. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to rest upon us, to move powerfully, both in our gatherings here at church and as we go about our lives. May we be encouraging voices to our brothers and sisters around us. Help us to share the good news of Jesus with whoever will listen. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to be born of a virgin. We trust in you, the God of miracles, that we will see healings and blessing and salvation come to your house. Lord, we cry out to you for revival in our land. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Church, we're not going to close with a song this morning. I just thought it's a real, you know, practical word, and I just thought we could just spend a minute or two, just chat amongst yourselves about it, and then we'll go our way, and we're going to be rushing off to Christmas in July. Michelle and I are host family, so we're probably going to duck straight out, but we'll be back here 10 a.m. next week. And also in between, there's the CPWA Dave Gilpin meeting on Thursday night. So if you've signed up for that, that's going to be awesome. So if we don't see you at CPWA Dave Gilpin, and we don't see you at our place, if you're going somewhere else, then we'll see you guys again next week, Sunday, 10 a.m. Bless you guys.
Let's play some songs.